This is probably the most special of the specialist episodes of Waldman's Words. I have Ms. Emily Burke on the air today. And normally when she's in the studio, she participates in a little introduction where she speaks for about like 16% of it. But I told her that she can't talk during this whole thing because I'm just going to compliment her at length for a while before we talk to her and interrogate her. During my time as an artist manager, I have had some people come and go at the company. Just the nature of the beast. This business isn't for everyone. But I can tell you that this business is definitely for Emily Burke. I think that she has her shit together in a higher degree at such a young age. She's 20 years old than a lot of people that I encounter that have been in this industry for a really long time. She's extremely reliable. She gets things done. She's affable, she's friendly, she's smart, she is the total package, and I'm extremely, extremely grateful that she decided to spend time, literal time, which is the most valuable commodity in the world, interning for a company that had just started. And when I finally got to the point where I could pay a little bit, admittedly a little bit, it's not that much right now, hopefully it'll add to more money and more hours, she was the absolute first choice, and she took it. So this show was originally going to be a surprise show where I had her call in and kind of do a 1-2 punch interview with someone, but I decided just to have an entire show about her. So the cool thing is that on this show, we literally just had one an hour ago that you heard last week, with someone who works in the publishing world. We've had major, not major label people, but actually people who've worked in major labels. We've had indie label people. We've had managers. We've had some very prolific artists. We've had festival curators, booking agents, publicists, you name it. But we've never had a manager's assistant slash PR intern slash college student on this show. So it's going to be really informative. It's going to be really fun. I just had this conversation with my wife where I said that I don't know how I would be able to do everything with Waldman Management, with Rolling Artists, with Waldman's Words, with the bands I play in, which aren't, admittedly are not full-time, without Emily Burke. So this show's for Burke, but most importantly, it's for you listening. So if you are listening to the show and you want to work in artist management, or you want to work for a label, or if you want to work for a booking agent, the absolute best way that you can do that is to work with someone else who's doing it. And you will learn more, you'll learn what you like, and you'll learn what you don't like. No job is too small. I do not ask Emily to clean toilets, but I do ask her to do certain things that, you know, you have to do to get to point B and a point C. So I know I'm being really sentimental. I'm just really happy right now. So stick around for Waldman's Words with Emily Burke every single Tuesday night, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern time, where Emily goes to school. The show is broadcast, and every Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific time and 8 a.m. Eastern time when Emily goes to bed. That is when this show is on. So the one adjective I'm going to use to describe this show is I just made it unsentimental. Stick around for Burke's Words with Waldman. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Scott.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, gosh, you could talk a lot about a lot of things. I heard the intro is great.
Thank you.
And it was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I think something that's going to be good is I am not that established in the music industry, and I'm kind of just starting out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people listening to this show kind of are on the same length as me, on the same
I would length. Argue that you're yeah. infinitely more established than the majority of people in this industry, and I would even say that I'm not where I want to be and established, but you already have your foot in several doors. Before mm-hmm. we get into your many feet and many doors, you were born in the 818.
Yeah, I'm from the San Fernando Valley,
Word
born
up.
And raised, mm-hmm. and I think it was a good place to grow up. I when I moved to Philadelphia for college, it was definitely a culture shock, because LA is such a not loving place, but very accepting place.
Tolerant.
Yeah, tolerant. So to go someplace else.
You don't find Philly crazy. To be a tolerant place? Because it's on the East Coast. And I mean, yeah. Granted, so is North Carolina is technically on the East Coast. But like, let's go into that. I didn't expect to talk about this. Did you find just a more familial vibe, or you found more tolerant in terms of accepting all cultures? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. You go anywhere outside of Philadelphia and it's just the worst. Just the worst.
That's fair. You're allowed to say whatever you want.
Yeah. It was also definitely more sheltered than Los Angeles. And I feel like if I kind of grew up in any place other than LA, which I got very lucky, I definitely...
Yo, I'm from New York, man. Yeah. I ain't be sheltered.
Like, I probably wouldn't be in the industry that I'm in right now.
Well, what's crazy is I went to the University of Michigan. And one of the things that they really try to enforce at that school, and then we're going to go way before college, but one of the things they really try to enforce is you're here, you're semi-intelligent, you could do what you want. And pretty much everyone I knew at that school was just like, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to do this. And a lot of people ascribe to certain antiquated philosophies where they have to do X job to succeed, and there is no stable industry. You're nodding your head. Care to elaborate on that? You've done this before.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. It's, I don't want to say because of like cultures or because of where you live, but I think people here are a lot more open to like going into entertainment as an actual career. Mm-hmm. Like that was the thing. Like in high school, I had friends who left high school because they had a career already, you know?
And, actors?
Yeah, actors.
Well, that used to be you too, right?
Yeah, I used to act. Wow.
I did my research, except I didn't. I just talked to you.
Yeah, true. But
with the exception of Ross with Rowling and Kelly, I think I talked to you more than anyone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird. I feel like I know a lot about you, but you don't know too much about me.
I know a lot about you, but you don't offer as much information as my verbal diarrhea. But when I ask you a question, you tell me. I mean, you're homeschooled. You told me some stuff that you know, you don't. You're a little bit more reticent than that. But when you're doing this radio show, you're out of that shit shell.
Yeah, I'm open if you just ask. If not, I'm like.
But you're not gonna be open to rent. Like if you were interning me for the first day, which I described in the intro that's what you did. I mean, we're going all over the place, which is fine. You weren't going to tell me certain – it's like if I was on a first date with someone, I don't go, yo, I hooked up with this many girls. You just don't do that. But when you get to know someone, you know their inner workings. So let's go back to your inner workings, because I actually do know a lot about you, but maybe not as much as I should or I could. So you're born in the 818. Eventually you decide to do yada, yada, yada. But you literally just saw Green Day. Was that one of your gateway drugs? I know that Avril was your first concert. But What got you to the point of, you know what, I really love music, I want to do something behind the scenes in it?
Oh, I'll be perfectly honest. I feel like I got into actually going into music as a career not later in life, because I think I was like 17.
I started in 2015, and not later in life. You're killing it.
But growing up, I didn't listen to too much. Like, my dad is a huge Grateful Dead fan, and I kind of grew up a lot with like Grateful Dead, and my mom loves Queen. So it was always just like that kind of music. And I went to go see a lot of concerts when I was little, because my parents are a firm believer and you're never too young to go see a show. So
I love that belief.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun and I appreciate it. But Green Day was a really big one for me, just because they've been around forever. And for as long as like I've been alive and listening to music,
What year were you born?
1997.
So you were born in 97. Yeah. So that was when Nimrod came out.
Yeah.
So you were born when Nice Guys Finished Last was a popular song, and eventually Good Riddance, which is pretty wild.
Like American Idiot, even though that was 2004, I was still very young. That was a big album for me, because people were – I was in elementary school, and so people were like, it has curse words.
Sure.
So, like, American Idiot is a huge album. Avril Lavigne was a big one. Weezer was a big one, because, again, like, Green Day, they've been around for as long as I was alive.
They've been around a really long time, but I just want to go back to Green Day, American Idiot, because what's crazy is Green Day was on the decline, And then they released American Idiot, and that resurrected them. And I moved to Los Angeles in 2003, and around that time, Jack Black's School of Rock came out.
Yeah.
And around that time, American Idiot came out. And I can tell you without a shred of hesitation that both the title track and Boulevard of Broken Dreams to this day are the two songs that I probably taught to more kids.
Yeah.
It really resonated with a lot of people. And you were like a really young person, but you were rocking out.
American Idiot, I remember that music video very like specifically, and people would watch it at night, then come home and talk about how it had a bad word in it, and like, mm-hmm. it was just like the slime and everything.
You want to be the fag in America? Yeah. Is that the one? Which, for the record, also, we are not homophobic people, and yeah. neither is Green Day.
No.
They are pointing out right-wing ideology, or so I think.
Very not so.
Yeah.
But to kind of get back, like, those were big bands that I listened to. I was a really big fan of Bon Jovi, too, but that's, like, a whole other thing.
We just talked about them briefly on the last yeah. one with Desmond Child, so that's pretty sweet.
And then, but my growing up, music was not that big of a part of my life until I kind of realized it when I was older. And I thought I was going to be an actress for a very long time, and that's what I wanted to do. And I did musical theater from when I was 6 years old to 17 years old.
Did you see American... We're just talking about Green Day for this whole life. Did you see American Idiot?
I didn't.
You don't have to fucking yell at me.
I saw the one on YouTube. They have like a whole performance on YouTube.
That doesn't count.
It doesn't. And it's apparently been in pre-production for like years. But
no, I saw it actually at the Amundsen, and I saw it in New York. Really? Yeah, it's. I mean, I have the soundtrack. You should listen to it because it's pretty much all of American Idiot and 21st Century Breakdown.
Girl, I know. That 21 Guns cover is everything.
With the harmonies and then they change the key.
God,
yeah, it's dope.
So good.
It's really good.
But... yeah, I thought I was going to be an actress. I started auditioning when I was, like, in fourth grade, I think, was my first audition.
Were your parents stage mom and dads? I really
not
hope.
At okay, all.
Okay, good. Those are the – I worked in TV casting when yeah. I first moved here. They're the worst people on the planet.
I think when I was, like, 17 and started doing stuff for my own, my mom kind of got a little bit into that world. She's like, can I come with you to, like – and I'm like, I
that's
can't.
More of an enthusiastic fan yeah. is, like, you're the fucking breadwinner.
But, no, they were – my parents – thank God for them. They're probably going to listen to this because they love me.
If they don't listen to this show, I'm going to be sad. I still want to go to a Shabbat dinner at the Burke House.
Oh, of course. But they were incredibly supportive of what I wanted to do. And ever since me and my sister, I have an older sister.
Who followed you to school.
Who followed me to school.
I know a little bit.
They always told us, like, to find something that you love and then run with it and then, like, make that a career. Don't worry. Like, find what you love and run with it.
It's the opposite of my mom. She's like, find something you love and run away from it. Be a lawyer.
Yeah. See, I don't know what I would do if I had that, like, growing up because
It's hard, man.
Yeah. I fell in love with, like, acting. I fell in love with theater. And
did you have representation when you were acting?
No, I never had professional representation. It was
you
all just
unprofessional
kind of
representation? You had this guy who would send you out for auditions?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. No, it was always, like, I've always been a theater kid, so I'd hear stuff from, like, friends or, like, opportunities will come.
So, like, cold auditions.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's hustling.
I never really, like, booked anything until I was, like, a teenager. And when I was 17, because they can't ask you how old you are in an audition room. Just fun fact.
Fun fact. Oh.
So I would go in as, like, 16, 17.
We finish each other's sandwiches.
Yeah. 16, 17, when I had my own license and my parents didn't come with me anymore, I would go and I would just tell them I was 18. Mm-hmm. And I would just get...
what would they do about ID? Did they ask you for it? And you're just like,
no. They never asked for an ID. They always just asked you to sign the waiver. Read the contracts. One piece of advice, always read the contracts.
Well, your father's a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
See, I know stuff! Even though I got your school wrong and we edited it out once and I feel bad still. Yeah. Drexel is different than Temple.
Yeah. It's very different.
Very different.
But I would do that, and I did a lot of random stuff. I don't know if anyone out there is in middle school, which I don't believe so. They're going to show
you. You really never know.
Yeah. They're going to show you, like, a series of tapes about, like, why drugs are bad or, like, the dangers of social media. And I remember I watched them in middle school, and then I was actually in one when I was 17.
You were in a PSA?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was great. I mean, I got paid for it, and I just needed to tell people why social media is bad. I'm like, girl, I go on social media all the time. Like, it's not. It has its...
You know, Saved by the Bell yeah. had that episode, which was pretty much a PSA, and apparently they were all really... really into drugs and very, very
promiscuous. The caffeine pill one?
Yeah. I'm so excited! Oh, I'm God. So excited!
Yeah, so if any middle schoolers out there, if that helped you, you're welcome. I got paid for it.
Thanks, Obama.
But yeah, so I just did stuff like that. I did a lot of web series for YouTubers and just like small movies. Like,
well, what was your gateway drug from, because you don't really do acting anymore. So
no.
Oh, you say that with such scorn.
No, I love it. And I really did learn a lot. Like, I did improv training for a few years as well. And I think that helped me exponentially in my everyday life.
That's how you're badass on this show.
Yeah. And
yes, and.
Yes, and. Oh, God.
Yep.
Actual, like, flashback nightmares.
Sorry, I took a few improv classes, so that's what I and know.
Yeah, it's great, though. It's great for public speaking. It's great for engaging with other people. It's great for listening to other people.
Aha! Well, the thing is that in improv, if I walk into a scene and it's just the two of us, and I'm like, I'm an attorney elephant, you're like, no, you're not. That kills the whole scene.
It ends it.
That's it.
When I was in school and I was, like, doing improv at the same time, first of all, I was on an improv comedy team. But also, I definitely would not be able to pass a lot of my classes if I didn't do improv, because I was the best bullshitter. If I ever had to do, like, a presentation,
I'm nodding my head with pride.
I guess bullshit the fuck out of that.
Make it till you make it, man. You have to be able to really sell a product, and sometimes it's, you see what I'm doing? I'm scrambling around a speech.
But I don't think I ever really want to stop acting. I did it up until last summer. I was still working, even when I was, like, working with you.
Wait.
Oh.
We can talk about that. I want to. I really like talking about you working with me. But what was the exact transition where you're like, you know what? I like performing. I like acting. But I really like music, and I want to work in that environment or that capacity.
I feel like everything with me is a story. So
no,
I'm
no,
go
that,
into that's, it.
This show is. Listen, you have about 7 minutes right now to tell whatever you want about that.
When I was in high school, it was. So my best friend, and I'll shout her out, her name is Hannah Fine. Full.
Oh!
It's not just
I've
Hannah.
I've seen her in your stuff.
It's Hannah Fine, not just Hannah. We've been best friends for 15, 16 years. We met in preschool, yeah. We
met in the sandbox.
Yeah, at our Jewish preschool.
The sandbox. Yes.
But she actually left our junior year of high school, and she began homeschooling. And I believe that was – we did a program called OFL, which is independent study. So you go into a center for, like, once a week, unless they have small group instruction, whatever. It's a great program if you are really into it. I owe
endorse
a lot
the
to
shit out of everything.
Yeah, I owe a lot to that program. That's
you owe a
say.
Lot to OFM.
Oh, yeah, OFL.
Well,
but – she left, and I was really heavily invested in my theater program at my high school.
You could discuss if you want to name drop it. I know it's in the Valley. It's in the 818.
I went to El Camino Real. It sucks, so if you go there, that
sucks. There's that in Taft and Woodland Hills. You're allowed to say it sucks.
I went to El Camino. And
did Hannah Fine go to that one, too?
She did.
Okay, and what catalyzed her exit?
She just wasn't happy there. It was not a very good school. Like, the teachers, if you were failing, they weren't going to help you. They really weren't. And so it just, like, socially,
it wasn't very nurturing.
Yeah, socially we were both fine. Like, it wasn't like, oh, there's bullies. We didn't have, like, I've never seen a bully at the school. It just wasn't a thing. It was just the school itself. If you were having trouble with something, they wouldn't help you out.
That's interesting.
It kind of feels like you're going nowhere. And now that we were preparing for college too, it was just like, I need help, and
you need
no
guidance.
One's helping me. Yeah.
Well, oftentimes when people talk about going to homeschools, it's because the school is just so, I mean, I'm not even going to say unproductive. It's just such an unhappy environment for some people, usually for negative things like bullying.
Yeah. I never had a problem with bullying, but after...
That's because you were the bully, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm so mean. But after my friend left, she left the beginning of our junior year, so she didn't go back for the school year at all. I ended up leaving the school halfway through my junior year just because I wasn't happy there. I loved my theater program, and I'm still friends with a ton of people I was in theater with, and I love them very much, and the teacher I had there was amazing, and I still love her very much, and I had to leave the school just because of issues of, like, me, like, mentally. Like, I wasn't doing good, like, mentally health-wise. And, like, the school...
You were in a bad spot.
Yeah, the school was not helping at all. And I went to the school.
I appreciate your candor, by the way.
No, it's fine. Tons of people, like, talk about it. It's fine. And tons of people have problems. And I just want people to know, too, 'cause a lot of people feel trapped, especially when it's in that school environment. Because I actually went to my school and told them, hey, I'm having a lot of trouble. I'm having a lot of problems. And they tried to accommodate. They tried to accommodate, but it was not in a very pleasant way. Where I went to my counselor with my mom saying, hey, I have these problems.
Or more of a therapist type person.
It was the actual school counselor where you go and change your classes with her.
Okay, yeah, they call that guidance counselor at my school. But yeah, we're weird on the East Coast.
But I went to her with my mom saying, hey, I'm having all these problems. I'm kind of struggling right now. Is there anything that we could do? Because I know I've been missing a lot of school because of this, because I wouldn't go to school for weeks on end. And I would just go to drama. And so they actually ended up telling me, oh, well, you're not smart. You're just lazy.
They said you're not smart?
Oh, they said you're not dumb.
Okay, you just scared the shit out of me. I was about to say that's really bad. And for the record, you are smart.
They're like, you're not dumb. You're just lazy. And I looked at her and I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill myself.
Wow.
What are you talking about? Which, not to that extent. I was just very angry.
You were upset. Well, yeah. let me just go off on a tangent there, because there's a lot of kids that think that, in 10th grade because bullying right now, cyberbullying, I know you didn't have it at your school, but people have cell phones, people have Twitters, people have YouTube. The bullying doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got teased growing up. I mean, I had friends, but I got teased. Of course I did. And so when I got home, I didn't get teased. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have this or that. And now it's just, it never ends. And if you fart in class now, it could be on YouTube forever.
Yeah. No, but like I said, I never had problems with bullies, and that wasn't a thing. It's just...
Well, it seems like the administration...
Yeah, they were not helpful at all. There were so many problems with that school. And I feel like... I know I went off on a tangent, but at the same time, I feel like
it's important. I was trying to say it gets better, though.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of people, especially in high school, you feel like there's no place you could go. And if no one's helping you, it's like, well, I just got to ride it out. You don't... if you're not in a healthy place... Get out of there. I got out of there. I went to my independent study, and I loved it, and I owe so much to them, and the teachers there were amazing, and I was able to study on my own, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have gone into music.
Was there a center for it?
Yeah. You would go into a center. You had a teacher, but you did packets at home.
That's not traditional homeschooling, because when I think of homeschool, traditionally, it's a lot of traditional values type religious people. I saw the movie Jesus Camp. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, I have.
It's the scariest fucking movie ever made.
It's so scary.
And basically, it's a lot of creationists, or not necessarily, but the parents are teaching their kids, and obviously some of them are qualified. And homeschooling is usually stigmatized in a negative way.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that you had a good experience.
Yeah. I would still go into school, technically. Just I would go in a lot less and for a lot shorter time than if I was going to public high school. Mm-hmm. And I think the experience of having time to figure out who I was and what I really enjoyed is when I kind of discovered I really like music. And I started...
But you don't play any instruments,
right? I don't
play
any instruments, no. And I can't sing. But I had a lot of free time now because I didn't have to wake up early for school. I didn't have to...
What time did you wake up?
I probably woke up at 10:30 every day. Yeah.
Oh my God, my school, I had morning chorus. I had to get there by 7.
Before I left, I had 7 a.m. classes.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So I was able to sleep, and I was able to go out at night, and I started seeing a lot of local shows because they were cheap and easy, and my best friend didn't have
Hannah Fine
didn't have to go to school either. So I drag her to a bunch of these shows, and I'm like, I really like this, and I like these people. And
that's where a lot of people who are outsiders find their niche. Warped Tour, I feel like, is one giant club for the miscreants.
Oh, yeah. And everyone knows each other. Everyone's together. And as a teenager, I was like, I want to be friends with these people. And that was just kind of my thing, is I want to be friends with these people. And then it kind of slowly developed into, I could actually have this as a career, and this could be my life every single day.
Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. So what adjective would you give this broadcast for yourself besides detail oriented?
Pretty sick.
Pretty sick, bro. Pretty sick. So you gave the adjective an adjective.
Yep.
So look at you going above and beyond the call of Mad Libs.
Like always.
Well, again, in echoing my sincerely sweet intro, you do.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So stick around for Burke's Words featuring Wally. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Scott.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
So, What yeah. did you, yeah, yeah. So what did you do? Like, you realized that you enjoy the community of going to shows, but I think I know the answer. Did you start writing? Was that what you wanted to do? Or how did you break into this crazy and stupid industry?
I didn't really do anything until I went to college because I didn't really know how to, which now that I'm like in it, I'm like, oh, I could have done so much at that time. But at so I decided to go to school at Drexel University because they have a program called Entertainment and Arts Management. Mm-hmm. And
Ross Groby.
Yeah. Was he an EAM major?
I just know that he is ride or die Drexel. And I do know that. Yeah. That school is one of the ones I could think of that Emerson, Columbia College, Chicago, that really fosters growth in this world.
Yeah. But I love that program, especially because I knew I loved music and I knew I wanted to work in music and I wanted to be that person that worked in music, like that really cool, that cool aunt, if my sister ever has kids. But
you're the cool aunt at Waldman Management.
Yeah. But I want to be...
NTM.
Oh! But it's... So I went off to school, and I'm thinking, okay, cool. So I could do the music thing, but if I end up wanting to be, like, an agent, or if I want to go back into, like, movies and film and all that, I will have that chance with my... whatever it is I'm doing. So I went off to college my freshman year. I kind of went blindly because I chose the school off of, like... I took a quiz on the College Board website.
For where they align you?
Yeah, and Drexel's one of them.
Did you visit it at least before you went?
I applied, I got accepted, and I'm like, this is where I want to go, because it's the only one that had the major.
Uh-huh.
And we went out, me and my parents went out for Accepted Students Day, and my mom was not happy that I was going so far, because my older sister did community college for 2 years, so she was still living at home, so I'd right. be the first kid to...
Leave the nest.
Leave, and I was going very far.
Yeah, you're going to the opposite end of the country.
Yeah, so I remember we were sitting there during orientation. My mom turns to me, she's like, how about Chapman? And I'm like, what about Chapman? I didn't apply to Chapman.
I don't know.
It's November.
If Orange County, if that school would... I mean, here's the thing. Here's my stance on this. And mm-hmm. for me, not for everyone, yeah. your sister is not me, other people, I think the true college experience, not necessarily moving 3,000 miles away, not necessarily moving to the Midwest from the East Coast, but... getting to a place where you're either a short flight or a really long drive or more is the way to truly have the experience away from everything.
Yeah.
For me.
I love my family, and I wasn't trying to run away from anything because I definitely like
That's
my life here.
That's not what you said last week. I'm just kidding. Mama Burke, I'm kidding.
But I think being able to go out on my own for a year at 18 in Philadelphia, like a new... Like I said, it was a culture shock. It was great. And my freshman year of college, I started getting more into, like, the Philadelphia scene and meeting a lot more people who...
Like the modern baseball scene?
Modern baseball is a Drexel band, yes.
Yes, they are. I believe Grayscale is a Philly band, too, right?
Grayscale is a Philly band.
They're really good.
Yeah, they played in my school, and then they got signed, and all of a sudden, they're Grayscale, you know?
All of a sudden. Before, they were Schmayscale, yeah. And then as soon as they signed...
I'm just saying, stuff happened really fast for them, and they deserve it, because they're amazing.
They're really good. They're a good Fearless band, shout out, and yeah. I like modern baseball lyrically a lot. So, mm-hmm. keep going. Oh, Circa Survive, Starting Line, all these Philly bands.
Yeah. But I started meeting people in my major who are a little older that, you know, they've been writing for a long time, or... they're in bands, and I've never played in a band. And I didn't really even have friends that were in bands or did anything musically. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a very, very new scene for me. And I kind of had to learn everything and meet everyone.
That's how every industry is.
Yeah. And I
mean it.
How I kind of got started, my first opportunity, because I wanted to go out and do something. Like, I was ready. I'm like, I can't, like, sit around and do anything. Like, I need to find something to do in this industry. And I didn't really know where to start. But there's two girls in my major who were a year older than me. And one of them ran her own publication called Hit the Stage Promotion.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And she came into my class freshman year and just said, hey, we're looking for writers or photographers if any of you are interested. And I'm like, all right, cool, this is it. I want to talk to bands. I want to, you know, that kind of thing. And so I emailed her, and I started writing for her.
Right away? Like, so they just said, boom, you're hired, write some stuff?
Yeah. I emailed her. I sent her. I, like, wrote a...
like a sample?
Yeah. It was about, like, women in music or something. And she's like, all right, cool. Like, we want to talk to you. Talk to her. And got hired. And I remember I called my dad because I was like, oh, my God. I'm super excited. I get very excited about things.
That's good. It never lose that.
Yeah.
You're young. And there's so many people in this line of work that when a major accomplishment happens, they're so jaded by it. So that's awesome. Keep going. But, I'm loving this, by the way. Just so you know, I'm loving this interview.
So I started working for her. And I had no idea where to start because I have never talked. I've never sent out a professional email. I would call my dad all the time being like, I don't know how to respond to these people. Like, I don't know what to say. But I never sent out an email to like an actual publicist or an actual band or anything before.
How'd you find their info? You just go on their website and look it up on Facebook?
Or... Facebook about publicity. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know where to start, and I was very nervous to kind of start because I was super afraid of my wording and, you know, like, oh, they're not going to take me serious because
I could send an email to you, and I could send an email to someone, like, for example, Mara, who is on this show, and it could be articulated the exact same way to both of you, and you might be like, yeah, that sounds great, and she might be like, fuck off. Yeah. You really never know. It's so as long as your intentions are pure and you write competently, because that could turn people off too.
I've gotten a little more confident in myself. Which
I said competent, but confident works too.
But
write confident and competent.
Confident and competent.
Yeah.
But I, this is kind of starting to get into like where I started meeting you.
Oh, this is where Waldman's words.
Wait, there is like a kind of a backstory to it that I don't even think that you know of.
My eyes are popping out of my face.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to say something and it's totally going to give it away about how I found you guys.
Who's you guys?
Your old band, Greenlight Theory.
Ah.
And Corey Rexland was on the show.
Damn right he was. I love that kid.
So, I am a big fan of trash YouTube.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I love shitty YouTube videos that go on for like 20 minutes long that I could just put on and like do my makeup or do work. So,
okay, I'm not sure where this is going.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, you're going to know where this is going. So, there's this girl on YouTube. Her name is Trisha Paytas.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay, now I know where this
is going. She's a huge mess, and I love her so much.
You're allowed to.
She's just so interesting. I was watching
a
video.
She has a music career.
She does. Pretty successful one, too.
Good for her.
Yeah.
But there's an audience for Bahad Behabi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? For the people who are talking shit on that, like, seriously, get over it. It's the music business. She's going to get streams. Your bad press is what got her signed.
Honestly.
Continue.
But
thanks for proofing that status before I wrote it.
I was watching a YouTube video of hers because her YouTube videos are, like, 20 minutes long. I could do whatever. And she was at a Cheesecake Factory.
And Marina Del Rey.
Yeah. She met a waiter named Kyle.
Yes, she did.
Who was in a band called Greenlight Theory.
Which was the band I was in. And Kyle played bass in that band. Corey was his brother. He still is his brother. Yeah. Is the lead singer. And he did backup vocals, rhythm guitar. Well, Kyle did backup vocals, played bass. Corey played rhythm guitar, was the lead singer. I played lead guitar and sang backup vocals. And Drew played the drums. And... continue, because that was the first time I've said all four of our names in a long time together.
But I decided to follow you guys on Twitter, because I followed a lot of, like, local LA bands on Twitter, because they would always post about cheap shows and give me something to do, especially, like, to go back to when I was in high school.
Yeah, you enjoy it.
Yeah, I would go to very small shows. So I followed you guys on Twitter. I got a DM from you, because I believe in my Twitter, like, bio, it said I was a music management student, and
was it from me, Scott Waldman, or was it?
It was
from
the band account.
Okay, it was one of us.
I still have the combo.
That's
if you want it.
Well, you could tell by the grammar who wrote it. Anyway,
oh,
continue.
I got a DM from you guys, basically just saying,
"Hey,
we
slid into your DMs."
Basically, yeah. And it said, "Hey, one of our, like, band members, or thanks for the follow or whatever, one of our band members is a manager if you ever, like, have any questions or whatever." So we started talking, and I ended up asking you guys if you want to be interviewed for Hit the Stage. All comes back around.
It's all coming back to me.
And you guys said yes, so we set up an interview. It was actually the first interview I've ever done, ever.
That's pretty wild.
And I also still have, because I recorded it so I could, like, transcribe
it. It was an audio interview.
Yeah, so I still have that.
I remember where we were. We were in the rehearsal space.
Really?
Yep.
I was in some room at my college.
You were in a Philly room. We were in a recording / rehearsal space in West LA.
Oh, that's fun. But I interviewed you guys. That interview went up. I got an email from you, like, just from you, saying, I have other bands if you want to interview another one of my bands. Ended up interviewing...
I had just started artist management then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ended up interviewing two more of your bands. I interviewed Film Speed. Who just signed a deal.
Insane. Awfully good record. Shout out to Film Speed. Such a fucking good band. Keep going.
And then another one of your bands that you've, like, managed previously.
Shit happened.
And so I started... I did both of those, and they went up sometime in spring. And when I was back in LA, I, like, tweeted about being home or something, and you followed me on Twitter at the time. And then you DM'd me again saying, thanks for all you did for my bands. Like, I really appreciate it. Like, let me buy you a cup of coffee. Did that. Met you somewhere in Brentwood.
Lux, RIP. Yeah. It's moving, but yeah, one of the most bougie coffee places next to Bar 9 in Culver.
Oh, God. Love that place. And then you offered me an internship on the spot.
I just want to let you guys know this, that I was just talking to Emily, and the last interview we just did with Mara, she bleeds enthusiasm, and Emily was just so young and so hungry and so sweet, and she did really good work, and I was just like, you know what, maybe she could do really good work on my behalf.
Yeah. And a year later, I'm here on the show.
But I guess explain to the people listening, because believe it or not, this has been going really quick. We have about 8 or 9 minutes left. No, it's fine. This is great. I'm very happy with everything that's going on. Sincerely. What happened from the second you said yes to do the internship? Like, what did you do, and what is your new role?
When I first started, I did a lot of social media for, like, specific artists that you had on the roster. And it kind of transitioned a lot into me working with just one of the bands to doing stuff with other bands to doing stuff specifically for the company. And then you started Waldman's Words, and I started working with that as well. And now it kind of, like, I kind of encompass all areas.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
What is your official job title, though?
Just an assistant.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, take away just that. I just want to let every single person knowing, I think I said this in the beginning or the preamble or whatever, you're not just an assistant. It's an incredibly useful job, and pretty much every single person that works in entertainment started out as an assistant somewhere, whether you're Steven Spielberg or whether you're Joe Bububububu, who is an amazing man.
Yeah,
it's the way you learn from the ground up, and... the way that you develop trust is to offer a company free work. Show them that you're willing to bust your ass to learn more. Internships are invaluable, and you are never, ever, ever too good for a job.
Yeah, that's so true. And I feel like, especially in the major that I'm in, there's a lot of people wanting to work in entertainment. Mm-hmm. That it's like people always refer to people in entertainment as like sharks. And I definitely feel like they have the mentality where it's like, I need to be like a shark and I need tons of things. It's like, you're going to need to do some bull crap every once in a while. Like, don't be. And I think.
Well, your generation, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to talk about avocado toast, but I'm going to say that there's these kids that expect to be like CEOs. And I know the market is hard, and I know there's the paradox of need 5 years experience for an entry level job, and the economy is shit. It's always shit. Every year, it's always shit, so get used to that. But there are people that just expect the world without earning their place in it.
Yeah. So, and I think people thinking they're in college, too, like, once they get a degree, it's like, well, I have a degree. And it's like that. It doesn't mean too much. Like,
it's great.
Yeah.
It's an addendum.
But I, like, working with you, especially just
go on.
Like, a little. No, I'll, like, it was really great. For me, and I think I grew a lot in confidence to bring that back, because you really do have to, like, be so sure of yourself if you're ever going to do anything. And when I first started college, I definitely was not.
You're more tentative.
Yeah. And I was very, like, confused as to where I want to go or, like, what, where to even start. And so I started working with Scott, and I'm like, okay, I am doing something now. I have, like, stuff to do, and this is my job, and I'm learning.
And it's a self-starter job. For the record, you don't just sit around twiddling your thumbs. You have to, you make decisions, and Emily's gotten to the point where I trust what she does.
Yeah.
Keep going. I can compliment you for a long time.
Well, I'm gonna kind of transfer into, like, today, where I am and what's happening.
What's happening? Well, you're heading back to school.
I'm heading back to school on Friday.
We're going to wrap this up soon. You got four and a half more minutes of pain. No, it's fine. Explain, where are you today?
I mean, I'm still a student, and I go to school full-time. I take at least, I think to be full-time is 12 credits, but mm-hmm. I think I have to take like 18 or something.
That's a lot.
I know. I die. And I don't sleep a lot. And even when I'm here, all summer, I've worked here with Scott part-time, and then I'm also an intern over at Epitaph Records.
Fuck yeah, you are.
Yeah, and I work there 3 days a week as well. And then I started writing.
What kind of intern are you there, though?
Oh, I'm a publicity and legal intern.
Word. So you're getting lots of facets of this industry. Management, yeah. Publicity, legal, and then writing, press, which you'll talk about. But that's part of publicity.
Yeah. So I work there 3 days a week, and my school, you have to have, like, an internship or a co-op, but you get to choose where it is. So I'm very lucky that I was able to do it at Epitaph.
It's huge.
Because when I got to choose my first co-op, I'm like, well, I'm going to go hard, and I'm only going to – because there are places that you can apply, and you're like, oh, it's easy, I can apply. It's, like, small. But I'm like, I want to do something that I really like. So I only had three interviews, and that was Epitaph, which I eventually got, BuzzFeed, and Warner Music. Because it's
huge companies.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm just going to go, like, balls deep and, like, do this. Like, I'm not going
to
fuck around.
Please never say balls deep to me ever again. I'm sorry. There's a fine line between us. Continue. I'm kidding, but I'm also not.
Oh, no. It's fine. And so, you know, and it's good to, like, start somewhere, but at the same time, if you are confident enough in yourself and you're,
aim high, man.
Yeah, because honestly, you never know. You never know. They're probably looking for someone exactly like you, and even if you feel like you're underqualified, they're there to teach you.
Aim high and aim well.
Yeah. And so I was very, very lucky that I was able to start with Epitaph. I've been with them for 3 months now, mm-hmm. and it's my last week, and I'm very, very sad. But
Epitaph is sad, too.
I'm sure they are.
And Epitaph is Punk's dad.
Punk is dad. Oh,
so
great.
I guess let's wrap this up. But you were about to say, and I think we just went into little tangents, you also write, correct?
Yeah, I started writing for a new publication called New Fury Media. Going back to my roots of writing.
Which is how we met.
Yeah. And so I think, like, moral of the story of my story is you never know where an opportunity will come from. Because I got mine basically off of YouTube.
It's true.
I watched a YouTube video.
You watched a dumbass YouTube video that got you to a dumbass band and a dumbass fist bump.
Oh, you're so far away.
Okay, you can't see this, but she did the go on hand, and I missed her hand. So we have a little bit of time left. Emily has been a regular co-host while she's here. Mm-hmm. She's actually going to co-host one more show in a few days, and then she's heading back to school. And again, I cannot thank her enough for her hard, diligent work, and I'm a huge fan. So Emily, how can people check you out, and how can people check out the places that you work for?
All right. For me, I'm at Emily Burke. BERKE on literally everything because I swooped in on the username.
Smart.
I know. The branding, you know?
Hashtag.
And then Epitaph Records is Epitaph Records.
Mm-hmm.
And Waldman Management is Wald MGMT. I run all that social media as well as Waldman's Words, at Waldman's Words.
You really do.
Yeah.
You run shit. So I guess let's close this out with a noun to describe this show. Which is a person, place, or thing.
Emily Burke. It's a proper noun.
That was the narcissistic noun to close this show. So I'm going to say Adobe.
Ooh, but yeah. Love you, Adobe.
And I guess I just made you a playlist that was reminiscent of the Avril Lavigne you grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite band on that playlist?
Oh, God. Natalie Imbruglia.
Damn right. Torn's a sick-ass song. You're a sick-ass girl. Anyone who listens to the show, seriously, hustle, work hard, be nice, do your best to meet as many people as possible. You never fucking know. I got into artist management completely accidentally, and now it's my lifeblood. It's my passion. It's what I do 7 days a week. And who knows where Emily Burke will be in 10 years, but I predict that more and more people are going to know who you are.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to slide into the DMs, because look where I am now.
You are at Idobe
at
Studios.
At Idobe with Scott Wallman.
So every single week, Tuesday nights, 5 o'clock, our time, which will not be your time very soon. It'll be 8 o'clock on the East Coast, Waldman's Words, and Sunday mornings, 5 a.m., our time, which is Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Sound off with a Waldman word.
I'm trying to think of a word you say a lot, but I can't. Fist bump.
I could say like.
Like, yeah. I say like a lot.
Like, totally. And fist bump's two words.
Dash. There's a dash in the middle. Hyphen.
Let's take it. Have a good night.